The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Hello, Rolien. How are you this afternoon?
Very good in yourself. But before we get to the Israel news, I just want to just pay tribute to a giant of the South African radio industry.
Absolutely.
That sadly passed away today. Jeremy Mansfield, really an icon, a legend of Israeli radio. For those of us who worked in radio, and myself included, for many, many years, he really was iconic, one of the greats, and the expat community here in Israel really feeling the loss of the man who was the soundtrack to a generation, and our thoughts and our prayers are with his family and loved ones.
Thank you for that, Cham. It was very sad. I mean, he was 59 when he passed this morning, but a very sad day for South Africa. Rolien, on with the Israel Report. Israel's on the eve of yet another election, the fifth in 4 years. What, if any, are the early predictions?
Well, we love democracy so much here in Israel. We're going to do it for the first time in under 4 years. We are all getting ready to head to the polls. But, you know, one thing about Israel, despite our frustrations with the never-ending cycle of elections, we're very proud of our robust and vibrant democracy. So we are headed to the polls. I would say that probably the five biggest parties or six biggest parties in contention would be the Likud, the Yesh Atid, the National Unity, which is a party formed in a partnership with Gideon Saar and Benny Gantz, the Religious Zionism, which is posing a great worry for Israelis and for our international friends. We're going to get to that in a second. And the Haredi parties, United Torah Judaism and Shas. Interesting to see Habayit Yehudi not predicted to be a big one enough to pass the threshold. Yisrael Biteinu also falling slightly in estimates. But I'd say the biggest race is on between Yesh Atid and Likud. But anybody who follows Israeli politics will know that it's not necessarily about the party who wins. It's about the party that can cobble together some kind of coalition. So where are we holding right now with early poll predictions? We are holding, surprise, surprise, at another predicted deadlock, which means we'll possibly, unless we form a working coalition, head to the polls again in a short while. But you know, we can't always believe the polls, so let's see what tomorrow brings. One thing we can say, very important, that we've had a coalition in power for over a year, managing to pass very, very important legislation, including a budget, which is probably the biggest task that a coalition government has to do in Israel.
And the actual election, how long does it take?
Well, polls will be open from very early tomorrow morning. Israelis predicted to start heading to the polls super early and will close at midnight tomorrow night and will start the counting. But, you know, are we going to see high voter turnout? Let's hope so. And rain predicted tomorrow, and some say that rain could prevent certain sectors of society from heading to the polls. Who knew that Israelis were afraid of a little water from the sky?
And ahead of the elections, there was an uptick in violence with two terror attacks this past weekend. What's the background to this?
Well, this is extremely worrying. We have seen an increase in terror and violence in the West Bank over the last, I'd say, probably about 6 months or so. This weekend, no different, in the town of Kiryat Arba, very, very close to Hebron, a terrorist opened fire on several Israelis, killing an Israeli man by the name of Ronen Hanania. He and his son had just left a supermarket owned by Palestinians. So this just, you know, goes to show in everyday life, Israelis and Palestinians do coexist. And this terrorist opened fire, and the bullet landed in the head of Ronen Hanania, killed him in front of his son, who was also injured. Thank goodness he is okay. He was discharged from hospital in time to be at his father's funeral yesterday. Also yesterday, just very close to Jericho at the Al-Mulk Junction, 5 Israeli soldiers injured as a result of a car ramming.
Mm. And the UN General Assembly says Israel must disassemble nukes. So the first question being is, does Israel actually have nukes?
Well, this is the most ridiculous resolution. It really is. First of all, Israel has never admitted or denied that we have nukes. A lot has been speculated, and it would be understood that in the region where we face enemies like Iran, you know, does Israel have a nuke? We're not admitting yes or no, but it would be understandable. But this vote by 152-5 with 24 abstentions is absolutely ludicrous in the UN General Assembly. You know, we're sitting in a situation at the moment where Iran and Russia are holding the world to nuclear ransom, and the United Nations General Assembly taking the time to pass a resolution, which we have to note was sponsored by the Palestinian Authority and 19 other countries. Unfortunately, also including some of our allies like Morocco, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates, you can be sure that our ambassadors will be working to chat to them about this. When we've got Russia and Iran holding us hostage, why this absolute obsessive focus on Israel? The countries that voted against: Canada, Israel, United States, Micronesia, and Palau. We've heard a lot from Palau over the last couple of days, really standing by Israel's side at the United Nations, including last week at the sham hearing at the UNGA with the United Nations Human Rights Council Commission of Inquiries report being presented, and 24 countries abstaining. I know you guys want to know where South Africa voted. Mm-hmm. South Africa voted in the 152 block.
South Africa, just repeat that, voted in the?
Voted against Israel in the 152 member state block.
Okay, wow. And lastly, Rolene, I think you better feed your dog.
It's actually not my dog. It's the neighbor's dog.
Well, maybe you need to feed your neighbor's dog.
Knows exactly when we're on air to start his barking.
Rolene, always good to chat to you. That was the Daily Israel Report. Rolene, same time, same place tomorrow afternoon.